Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to the Hagman Report, Doug Hagman. With me is Randy Taylor. We are the Hagman Report for today, Friday, June 24th, 2022. A lot of stuff happening now because of the upcoming schedule and what have you. Just to let you know, this is being, there's a little bit of a time delay here in terms of when this is being recorded versus when this is being played. But nonetheless, it's still relevant still today, and it's not that far off. And the reason I mention that is because of what's taking place right now at the Supreme Court. Obviously, if I show you what's currently taking place at the Supreme Court, when this is aired, it's going to be a little bit different, but not, I mean, you know, not that far off. But the fact is, you know, there is some tense moments. I don't know. You have the current scene at the Supreme Court right now is I would just describe as chaotic. You've got a lot of inbred, and not the type that I'm, you know, not literally inbred, but inbred communist. What would you call them? Antifa-like insurrectionist groups. If you're going to use that word, you might as well use it against or about these people. So you've got this fight against believing, of course, you've got this fight by these people believing that hey, it's okay to murder babies, it's okay to murder unborn children, it's okay, everything's okay. And by you're actually taking away a constitutional right by overturning Roe v. Wade. That's kind of the mentality, which, you know, the fight back against this, and including and especially the UN's position, or the petitioning the UN, I should say, to weigh in on this and to condemn the United States for taking away this, quote, right. It's absolutely insane. So, it's not really insane. To most people, it would be. But it's demonic to those who understand the spiritual war in which we are engaged. And believe me, this is a spiritual war. I'm telling you right now, the various people. In fact, Alex Jones was talking with the Abe Vigano. I believe it was Abe Vigano talking about, hey, is this the kind of like the wrap up end times, end of days scenario? Are we fixing? Are we in the leading edge of that? And you know, the consensus is yes, because of course. Even from a non-spiritual, non-religious, just a purely secular position, you look at the fall of Rome, look at the fall of different countries, and you can see the societal degradation taking place at the end of these empires. That includes the debasement of the currency that we're seeing through the not-so-illustrious Federal Reserve, the price inflation, the fact that you've got the Biden regime. You know, Joey Sixplugs, Mr. Potato Head, out there, you know, pushing this globalist agenda versus a populist agenda. This is absolutely crazy stuff that we're talking about. So, having said all of that, we're going to take a deeper look into what's really going on. Now, we had some scheduling conflicts. Austin Brower won't be on. We had some scheduling conflicts. So, just to let you know, today, usually Friday, Austin Brower's on. But today it's Randy Taylor, given the time situation and time difference and what have you. So all of that together, just again to let you know. And also to let you know, next week, although I'm going to be in D.C., I'm going to try to do kind of a 5-10 minute segments when I'm in D.C., not about why I'm there, but just reporting on events there and elsewhere. So watch for that. Go to HagmanReport.com. Subscribe to our channel on Rumble as well as Spreaker. All the audio platforms, take your pick. And so watch and listen for that. And, of course, next week, because of the remote location and things, we're going to be doing some things this weekend as I prepare to leave with Randy Taylor and talking about some issues this weekend. So it's going to be a full, hopefully a full week next week. I believe it will be, and with some added extra bonus material, which I'm looking forward to, actually, because I've got a lot to say, and you folks, I'm sure, want to hear what I've got to say, or at least some of you do anyway. And if not, that's okay. And of course, Randy Taylor, view on things and analysis in particular on current events. So with that today, we were talking before the show, and we've been talking about a number of things. You know, we are now the domestic terrorists. And I'm going to kind of start off with this. By the way, let's bring Randy on. Randy, how are you today, sir?
Fantastic. How are you today?
Not bad at all. I appreciate it. They're actually pretty busy, as you know. You know, it's like all the time busy. Why am I buzzing here? I'm buzzing. Do you hear that buzzing? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, it's I'm electrifying. But you know, I really want people to get Randy Taylor. I want people to really understand this January 6th committee, as illegitimate as it is, the perception that it's creating, and you can weigh in on this, the perception that it is creating and the weaponization, combined with the weaponization of the Department of Justice, a lot of innocent and patriotic people are being hurt by this. And the perception that it's creating with the American public, even though you have a very minimal amount of that public watching these hearings, it's a vocal minority, and it's somewhat of an influential minority, and people might disagree about that. But what is most important is how the Department of Justice is handling this, and we are all going to be domestic terrorists. We are all going to be insurrectionists. We are all going to be not able to fly or buy guns or buy food. That's where this is all headed. Do you agree?
Well, absolutely. Yeah, we are one by one. Your rights are being stripped away. They can call it what they want. They can paint it however they want. But that's what they're doing. And this January 6th committee is a joke. Okay, it's a partisan politics exercise. They're trying to really cast some influence before the election. If this was actually a committee, a hearing, there would be some representation for the Patriots. There's not even a table set up for these people. This is nothing but a show. It's a show. Yeah. This is basically like a Hollywood production. It's insignificant. It means absolutely nothing. The sad part is all the people that are buying into it, which just, I don't know. I look at these people that are supposed to be the voters. And I'm like, a lot of people, I think really shouldn't even be voting because they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I sit there and you get into a conversation with a liberal or a Democrat and you're like, did somebody hit you in the head this morning or something? What happened? How do you even get to work each day? You're that stupid. I don't understand it. I don't. And when I say that, I'm going mostly after the far left. Okay, because it's gotten so far out of hand. The things that come out of their mouths, it's like, do you guys just make it up on the fly? You know, what's going on here? And the sad part about today is things are said, nobody looks into it, they take it at face value, and that's that. That's just really no way to run your life and or even to look at the political spectrum. You can't just take things at face value and go. That's what's gotten us to where we are today.
Well, you're right. You're exactly right.
I'm flabbergasted.
You know, you and I, okay, and I've mentioned this to you, I think, and I've mentioned this publicly. I've lost my filter. I've abandoned my filter. I don't have a filter anymore. I don't care. My wife says, "What? Don't you have a filter anymore?" No, because like you said, the moronic stuff that comes out of the people's mouths, including, you know, this hypersexuality of our children, the abuse that's going on, the fact that, speaking of January 6th, this past week, the January 6th law enforcement activity, you know, as the left's partisan hearings continue, we had a search warrant served on Nevada Republican Chairman Michael McDonald, okay, State Party Secretary James DeGraffenried, as well as Jeffrey Clark, whose home was raided, again, in the Roger Stone style, you know, the 6 a.m. no-knock or knock raids or whatever you want to call it. All of their equipment was taken. And for what purpose? Well, if you watch the January 6th committee, for the purpose of attempting to overthrow our republic. But if in reality, presenting a set of alternate electors according pursuant to the Constitution. So anyway,
things are really, really out of hand. And the problem is they leave us little to no recourse. We don't like what's going on with January 6th, but who are we going to complain to?
Thank you. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is what's happening, not just in politics. This is happening in the court systems. I mean, sit down. And if you just look at, quite simply, look at the entire fiasco, the Russian collusion fiasco. And I'll call it a fiasco because it was nothing but that. It was a circus. It was a joke. It was paid for. Nobody's doing anything about it. That's the thing. Hillary Clinton should be indicted over what happened. Okay? Her campaign fueled every bit of that. Every bit of that. And then what do? They grab some lawyer from Clinton's legal team, stick him in court, and he gets exonerated. That right there, that day in court, tells you exactly what's going on in this country today. You need to look no further. Nobody cares.
And you're referencing Michael Sussman.
Yeah.
So you've got a jury that's comprised of compromised individuals or biased mm-hmm. individuals that there's no way in the world that man or that there was any justice to be served.
And what did the one juror say? Well, there's worse things than lying to the FBI.
Yeah.
Really?
How did that juror survive voir dire?
Yeah. And I really would have loved to have been there during jury selection.
I mean, it's a contaminated pool of jurors. And again, I ask, how did all of these or some of these jurors survive voir dire?
Look at the decisions being made in the courts. That I understand now why Trump was really trying to fill seats. I get that. But at the same time, you sit there and we're overwhelmed with stupidity at the highest levels. Absolutely defying the Constitution, defying the Bill of Rights, defying everything we understand and grew up with as Americans that we, and I hate to say this, we've taken for granted. Because we've taken all this for granted.
Yeah, but I bet, you know, the difference between you and I don't hate to say that we have, and shame on us, but go ahead.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. We're looking at it and we say, well, the system, this, the system, that. Well, we've let the system get like this. You know, we can do like a lot of administrations do and blame the previous administration when we're talking about the public. Okay. Our forefathers, our parents, our grandparents. No, we can't blame them on this. We let this happen.
That's right.
Yeah, we let this happen. Watch.
Yeah.
And it's the old adage about how long it takes to build something versus how long it takes to destroy it. And you're looking at it. You're living it. And
wow.
The part that really concerns me the most, and it's like we were discussing the other day, we were the last thing protecting the world from a new world order. And we're losing that fight. See, that's I do get a little bit of faith restored when I see guys like DeSantis and various Republicans that are standing their ground, that are actually doing a good job for America or for their state, or all in all, DeSantis, he's running the state, but he's doing good for America too, because he gives you hope. You know, we need more guys like DeSantis.
Yeah, we do.
We really do. If you had even 25 governors like him, the United States would be a different place. You know, the guy's got guts. The guy he knows what a Bible is. It's not just that book that is up on the bookshelf that's got a lot of dust on it. He actually knows what it is. You know, when you watch how the guy does things, and what I like about him, he doesn't sit around and do a general consensus in the public. He goes, this is what we're doing, and that's that.
Yeah.
And I like that. Because you almost need that benevolent dictator type attitude.
Exactly.
You know, because we've slid that far down. You look at...
Now, what you said there is because so people don't misquote you, that attitude as opposed to the anti-constitutional dictatorship, okay?
Exactly.
It's all about presentation and attitude these days. But go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Continue.
But we need some people to get tough.
Yeah.
We need to get tough. And the problem with politics has always been, with politics hand in hand, is popularity. And what we're seeing with DeSantis is really kind of cool, is he's going against the flow and it's very popular. So that, I just picked up some feedback. That in itself, I find inspiring. And I think, if they want to put DeSantis up there for president, I say put the man in the White House. The problem is, if we don't have the two houses on the same sheet of music, we're going to go through another Trump era. We had 4 years with Trump where every time the man tried to do something, he got shot down. And the two houses, we could have got so much done during Trump's presidency. We really could have as a nation. But it was constantly back and forth, trying to drag him out of the office, trying to smear him, building and concocting fake cases against him. You know, it's shameful. It is absolutely shameful what happened during Trump's presidency. It's shameful the way he was treated, the way he was disrespected. It used to be, even if you didn't like the president, you still respected the office.
Yeah, exactly.
And they wouldn't even give the office respect.
I think the Trump presidency was a defining, and tell me what you think, because there's a montage out there. It's 10 minutes long of the people on the left. I'm talking about politicians on the left suggesting that the 2016 election was stolen. And of course the prime mover of that is Hillary Clinton out there saying, well, it was with Russian interference that Donald Trump was elected. And then you had a continuation of this, of that narrative for the next 4 years, two impeachments, one about that, or a big investigation about the alleged Russian interference or assistance, so to speak. So right from the beginning, he was hobbled, right? So, I mean... Mm-hmm. But today, now, which, by the way, brought us to today, brings us to today, and so you've got this vegetable in office, and I don't care what people think. This guy's not running the damn thing. He can't even sit still on a bike and sit upright.
Certainly can't make it up a flight of steps.
No. I think the only thing that got him off the ground and. Away from that bike is that little girl that he saw in the crowd. If you watch the videos, there we go. All right. Apparently, there must be a short in my wires. That's my.
No, I think constantly, and you guys probably know this. You're constantly picking up interference. You're like under attack all the time.
Well, and that's that's par for the course, and it's interesting too, because people, I have to kind of divert a little bit. Yesterday Steve and I had a program about homeschooling. And if, I just find it really interesting because there's this narrative out there that, you know, boy, it's all about this one big sales pitch about, you know, homeschooling and you know, selling this. And I take offense to that because what you and I and what this platform does is we attempt to provide solutions to people. Mm-hmm. And I'm not addressing critics here. I'm just stating facts. So when we as a platform, you, me, others, when we attempt to provide solutions, they cost money sometimes, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, deal with that. It's not a free ride out there. You and I, Randy Taylor's got, you got bills to pay. We have expenses. Mm-hmm. You know, things cost money. You expect to go to
We don't get in the weeds. We stay in the weeds.
Exactly. So, but you know, all of this, the reason I diverted there is because there's a mentality out there that you know what? I guess I won't even go there except to say that it goes back to your original statement. Some people just don't think through things. And you know what you said earlier, and I have to agree with you. You know, we have whittled away or allowed to be whittled away our freedoms and our rights, you know. So you're exactly
things,
right.
Things that we could have done using the system, we allowed to get away from us. Yeah. And what happens is when you lose those placeholders and you lose that power, because that's essentially what you're doing, you're losing your power, you know, to affect things, to change things, then what it does is it puts you more into more desperate measures.
And that's
the last thing we want, you know, as a country. People talk about, you know, I'm ready for war, civil war, let's kill all the Democrats. The people are saying, you don't know what you're talking about.
But you know, I'm seeing that rhetoric. And are you, because I know that you do tons and tons of research. You go to places on the internet, people don't even, folks, you wouldn't touch with a 20-foot pole.
Most people would look at the page and be terrified that somebody might know they're there.
Exactly. You know? So you go there, you go where other people don't. Are you seeing and this is what I'm seeing, and tell me if I'm just looking at the wrong places, but I'm seeing the left really, you know, ginning up this civil war talk in a big way,
which is really comical because these are the ones that gave up their guns. So I'm not sure what they're going to show up with, but no, we're seeing that more and more. A lot of it, and I'm going to say it's more of the younger generation that I'm seeing on the left saying that, where as far as on the right, seems much more with the older generation, which should concern people, because a bunch of kids running around saying things is one thing. When a group of adults starts saying it, you might want to listen.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know what I'm saying? This isn't schoolyard antics and rhetoric.
Right.
At that point, the young ones, you know, you're, because when you, unfortunately, we have to look at the groups like the Antifa and BLM and these different groups. And there's a lot more groups down there that are subsidiaries of.
Right.
And those are the ones that we're really going to have to watch, because what's happening is they've been getting like a carte blanche, a free pass to do violence. And nothing will be done about it. We get patriots show up on January 6th. Slightly peeved off about the election, and next thing you know, we tried to overthrow the government. There was no intent on January 6th of overthrowing the government. I can tell you that. You know that. We had many discussions before that day ever happened.
So what was the intent of that?
The intent was support for Donald J. Trump, and to let them know that we weren't pleased about the election results. But nobody went in there. Nobody showed up armed.
Wait. The intent, at least in my mind, I thought the intent, and correct me, the intent was to say, hey, look, this election was stolen, number one. Number two, there are alternate slates of electors, and to petition for those alternate slates of electors to be part of the to be part of the process.
Which going in, I knew in the back of my mind, and I think you knew it too. Yeah. That was an exercise in futility.
Yeah, I did too.
We know that. But at the same time, you know how sometimes you just have to make a showing?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just that simple. And what happened was that entire thing was hijacked by provocateurs. And this is the part where this is where what makes this committee a real joke is we know we have video of it. Okay. We've heard the conversations where these people were taking off their stuff and putting on Donald Trump t-shirts and hats and carrying American flags and going in there for the sole purpose of tarnishing the event.
Exactly.
Absolutely. That was planned out. And I'll tell you right now, I guarantee you, Adam Schiff, Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and I just named four. I guarantee they knew ahead of time what was going on.
I agree 100%.
I guarantee you, don't tell me they didn't. If you try and tell me that, once again, you just went into the idiot meter because you cannot tell me.
USC is idiot meter, by the way. Yeah.
You cannot tell me those four people did not know what was going on with Antifa.
No.
Somebody had to arrange it.
Yeah.
And I guarantee they were in on it. And then we find out that Schiff had that news crew in there. He was waiting for something. He was looking for something.
You know,
there's more. And there's things that we don't, that have never made public light about January 6th that will still come out. You watch.
Okay. On this platform, and I'm glad you brought that up, because on this platform, weeks ago, and I don't know the exact date, I said, you watch, there will be additional charges of people, and hence there are now. You know, you see that, again, Jeffrey Clark and others, Breitbart, you know, had this
big... Yeah, you saw the handwriting on the wall, though.
Well, and here's the other thing, and I can tell you this with 100% confidence. They're not done. They're going down the list, and I'll tell you what, you've got... Look, Alex Jones is already, you know, in the crosshairs. Others are in the crosshairs.
All I can tell is good luck with that.
What did you just say?
We were on that. Good luck with that.
Good luck.
We were
with
on
that.
We were, yeah, we were on the air that day. We did nothing wrong.
No. Well, no, we did nothing wrong. All we did was report what was going on by people who were there.
Absolutely. And in our favor. We absolutely preached no weapons, people.
Yeah, yeah.
We actually upset people by saying that.
Yes, we did.
If you recall, I took heat on emails and everything else because everybody thought this was going to be High Noon, The Last Stand. No. And we had many discussions. We had meetings about do not take weapons.
But you know, let me ask you in conversationally here. Wouldn't it, I mean, I almost feel, I almost, based on my analysis of events, if the J6 committee, the leftist politicians, the infiltrated group, are treating us this way, I'm going to say maybe we should have taken weapons that day.
No, because these people, they'd be executing them publicly. No. No, absolutely. That... Reason being is that was not the stage or the venue for something like that. I'm glad that no weapons, that because think about, look at the crap charges they're putting on them now. They're trumped up, made up charges. When a cop opens the gate and says, come in, guess what? And you go in, you're not breaking the law.
Yeah, and it's a 2,000-pound electromagnetic lock that was opened.
Thank you. And we have video of the cops waving them in.
And that's the other thing.
14,000 hours. They don't show those videos.
The people who have watched the J6 committee hearings have been denied 14,000 hours, or at least the highlights of 14,000 hours, of video that's been kept from the public.
Yeah. I would have actually loved for some... GOP representation. And I really would have liked to see that one of those lawyers that when they were impeaching Trump, one of the lawyers that he was using, one of those guys. Those guys were pretty sharp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think the thing that perturbs me the most is I sit here and I look at the fact that you can't go in Seattle and Portland anymore. You know, I remember two summers ago, you didn't want to be on the street there. That's how crazy it was. But nobody seemed to care. Nobody cares. I saw something.
That's mostly peaceful protests, you know.
Yeah. And Washington, the governor, he knows that it's going to be a bloody summer.
Yeah.
He knows it. But what are they going to do about it, Doug? They're not going to do anything. That's the thing. They're not going to do anything. The poor citizens are, unfortunately, they suffer under that type of leadership. But
they elected that. See, that's the thing.
That is. They elected them. Yep, they're the ones. You made your bed, now sleep in it.
Yeah, you live with that. Yeah, exactly. All right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so let's do this, if this is all right with you. One thing that in preparation for this episode, because I think January 6th is really the committee and even the illegitimacy of it, despite that, it's the perception that this is creating on the streets. If you ask the low information person, it is doing a hell of a lot of damage. And I'll tell you what, it is putting us in peril. And by us, you, the listener, you, the viewer, you watching this right now, I don't care if you're a housewife or, and that's not the pejorative, a woman, you know, a young person, an older person, it's you they want.
Mm-hmm. And if they can do this to those people, especially with this much oversight, this much public exposure and everything that's going on, they can do anything to us because this is going unchecked. Nobody's doing anything. Nobody stepped up. No judge or anybody has stepped up and said, stop.
Exactly. Which?
Just stop. Somebody, it's almost like you need a patriarch of some sort, you know, somebody that, because the judicial system's fried.
Yep.
You know, this entire thing is such a sham. But the sad part is the left is buying it, feeding it, fueling it, and worse, accepting it. And how do you even deal with that? How do you even?
You can't, I don't think.
That's what I'm saying. And they wonder why people are considering resorting to violence. Well, because talk is doing nothing.
Well,
you talk till you're blue in the face. They're overriding you. They don't care. Nobody cares.
You know, we're at the point now where there's states talking about secession. Texas, of course, is talking. So anyway, but
that would be interesting to see one of them succeed. Do it.
Yeah.
Don't talk about it. Do it.
You know, here we go. You know, back again to the Civil War days. But staying on the topic of the J6 committee, and even again, despite its illegitimacy, there was a clip, and folks, I would urge you to watch this. Darren Beatty with Revolver, okay, he's been on top of this, and he's been on the inside. I'll just leave it at that, and you can get the link at HagmanReport.com in the program description box. But if we can play this, is it all right to play? Let's play what the title of this video is, this clip is Darren Beatty on the intimidation factor in the January 6th narrative by the establishment. Now, I'm okay with that title, but this kind of paints that overview that people really, I think, really need to hear, that don't necessarily listen or watch Bannon, that don't listen to or read Revolver. Can we play it? It's several minutes. Okay. All right. And then on the other side of this video, we'll talk about this in the more specific sense. So video one, Eric the Tech, this is a big issue with big implications. Here it is.
Not Darren Beatty, the founder and editor-in-chief and publisher of Revolver.News. Sir.
Absolutely. First of all, I'd like to just say this is really outrageous. Jeff is a great guy. He's a friend. He's done interviews with us, and it's really shameful what's happened to him. So I send him my best. But what this really shows is the coordination, for one, the fact that he's raided in this incredibly exploitative, abusive way. The whole pre-dawn raid with dozens of agents. He's out there in his pajamas. They take all of his electronics. The whole perp walk kind of spectacle coming right before he's scheduled to be featured prominently as part of the committee's sham investigation. Because how dare he render his services, his legal expertise in countering election fraud and promoting election integrity. This is why the FBI has to raid him. It's a very disturbing development, and the timing of it just goes to show the spectacle and the coordination between the committee and the Department of Justice.
Well, they just got to keep the receipts. This is, remember, we're gonna give a crushing blow to these people at the ballot box. This is why this whole thing, this USA Today, this Democracy Project, they're absolutely petrified of what we've done here at the War Room for the precinct strategy, signing up to be poll watchers, the whole Cleta Mitchell and all the different seminars and every weekend. There's one in Wisconsin this weekend. We'll put it up on the bottom of the screen to go. We're doing every state. You know, we've done Nevada. That's why they're out hassling the Nevada people. The administrative state, Darren Beatty, is not going to give it up easily. And now you got, by the way, two of those, and I think McChrystal may be one I got to check. Hayden and Clapper are going to have their security clearances stripped over this Hunter Biden, the ad they took out in the New York Times. These are two of the most corrupt and competent people ever, Clapper and Hayden. They allowed the rise of the Chinese Communist Party. They allowed the Chinese Communist Party to infiltrate every aspect of business life, financial Wall Street, the Capitol here, the Uniparty, and Clapper and Hayden did nothing about it and have the audacity to say the forces of autocracy in our country. They must not understand what democracy is. We're going to the ballot box.
Just for a second, because he says something right, and keep that on there. Randy Taylor, he referenced the influence of the Chinese Communist Party, within the White House, within the government, within the business. Okay.
Oh, the White House is bought and sold, my friend.
Oh, absolutely. And
we knew that. Well, we knew that going in.
Exactly. And you know, to really advance that narrative or that topic, I should say, the research is done. Frank Gaffney, we have a clip that folks stay tuned because we'll play that later about the overview of the CCP infiltration. So anyway, I just want to bring that up while people are kind of paying attention. Go ahead and continue with this.
CNN just played it right there. We're going to the ballot boxes in November. We're going to give a crushing blow to the administrative state. And then starting in January, we're going to start. There's a new sheriff in town. And starting off with McChrystal and Clapper and Hayden, you're going to have your security clearances stripped because you should be. And you're not going to be able to grift off the system anymore. No security clearance, no source of income. And I actually think we ought to do a deep investigation. And I would say strip them of their pensions. Darren Beatty.
Well, I would say go farther than that. I mean, a lot of people don't even know what scumbags Hayden and Clapper are. Hayden, to refresh people's memory, he was the guy lying about the surveillance infrastructure that the NSA had set up against the American people. These guys are liars and crooks going back a long way. What democracy means to them is they're in charge. When they say something is a threat to democracy, that means it's a threat to Michael Hayden's grip on power, his grip on the national security state, and his grip on the throats of the American people. That's what it means. And so, really, Clapper, also notorious liar. These guys are classic stooges of the deep state, of the security state, whatever you want to call it. Really, they're part of the regime. They're part of the regime that needs to go. And really, we don't have a country as long as people like Hayden and Clapper still have a say.
I want to talk about the coordination between J6, which is obviously imploding on the ratings. Broadcast networks don't want them on, will not put them on primetime anymore. So now they've miraculously delayed their last hearings. They're going to be sometime in July. They've got this film out. They're right. Overwhelmed with evidence. They're saying there's so much new evidence coming on. And it's been a snooze fest up till now. I think Banks has actually put forward an interim report of what they're doing that says they've seen where Nancy Pelosi's dropped the ball as far as intelligence, as far as people that knew what was going on and didn't come forward. I think Banks' interim report could be pretty explosive. Not supposed to be out till later in the summer. I think he's putting part of it out now because of so many just outrageous lies being told by J6. But talk to us about the few minutes we got left about the coordination. I mean, as we say, there's no conspiracies, but there's no coincidences. How does Jeff Clark get rousted today by the FBI? Jeff Clark's got a lawyer. He went before the committee, and I think he took the Fifth in certain areas. Others, I think he might have said attorney-client privilege. He's got a lawyer. The committee knows who his lawyer is. The DOJ knows who his lawyer is. The FBI knows who his lawyer is. The guy was a senior lawyer at DOJ. If this is not weaponization, couldn't they just go to his lawyer and say, hey, we want him to turn over the following documents? Do they have to have these raids where it's all for the cameras and it's all to try to rattle people and particularly rattle other people, say, hey, if you support Trump, if you're part of the America First, if you're part of MAGA, we're coming to your house and we're going to kick down the door.
Yep. Now, the intimidation factor is huge. Frankly, it works. You know, this guy is a very respected, respectable lawyer, very high achieving, very, you know, respected in the Department of Justice and other places, and he's subject to a pre-dawn raid by the feds. This is not something anyone wants. So these intimidation tactics are really disgraceful. And of course, the timing, as I said, this is coming right before he's due to be the subject of the committee's latest conspiracy theory about how Jeff Clark issuing legal opinions on how to address election fraud somehow contributed to the storming of the Capitol. It's all ridiculous, but it's also very, very dangerous and very disturbing. And I wish Jeff the best.
But you should, by the way, Russ Vogt and Julie Kelly are going to be on the show tomorrow. Russ Vogt is over at the not-for-profit, the organization that Jeff works now. He's going to join us tomorrow morning. Julie Kelly's going to join us tomorrow morning. I think Julie may be on Tucker tonight talking about this very topic. I just want to make sure people should preserve their documents because this will be under intense review starting in January this coming year. All the Justice Department activity, all the FBI activity. There's going to be a real investigation on this, Darren, as you know, and I've pushed very hard for you to be one of the consultants and advisors that, given the great reporting you've done over at Revolver. But the one thing the committee can't get away from, whether they're going out and looking at these electors or whatever, is the Electoral Count Act of 1887 and the Constitution. If these guys had such a clear roadmap, they wouldn't be spending nonstop up there trying to work around the problem with the state legislatures are supposed to be in control. So says the Constitution and reaffirmed in the Electoral Count Act of 1887. That's why they've got a bipartisan committee up there trying to change it in the dark of night. Darren Beatty, closing thoughts. I know you got to bounce. Closing thoughts of your analysis of today's events.
The closing thoughts is I think the timing here suggests a type of coordination that also points to what we've been talking about before is the increasing pressure to use January 6th committee as a tee-up of indictments against Trump. Their ratings flopped, and so now they're focused on the audience of one, and that's Merrick Garland.
Yeah,
okay,
we dare him to do that.
You can cut that right there. So, Randy Taylor, your thoughts on this, because there's a lot there to unpack.
Well, when you look at these arrests that are being made, I mean, one, it's overkill. I mean, this is like sending SWAT down because you decided to take daycare as a deduction on your taxes. You know, this is just getting nuts. And stop and think about that. You know, somebody coming in your door at 4 o'clock in the morning, a lot of things can go wrong.
Oh yeah,
and so just from the safety standpoint, this is so wrong. Okay, and like the gentleman said, all you had to do is ask. We just sent you the paperwork.
Yeah,
you don't have to come to my house and you know force open my safe at gunpoint and ask for the paperwork. All you had to do was you know call us. This is getting ridiculous, and everybody, including the left, needs to watch this because it just shows when the government gets out of hand, what can happen. And guess what? It can be anybody out there. If they can do that to these high-profile people with fantastic lawyers, Think about some poor saps like you and I.
Oh, of course. And everyone listening, too. You think you're insulated. You're not. Mm-hmm.
And how is Doug? When did protesting become a threat to democracy?
When? Oh, that's a good question.
That's a very good question, because it just seems to only happen when it's conservatives protesting. One, it's rare that conservatives protest. Really is. It's very rare. We don't go out and tear up streets and burn down buildings.
Okay. And you know what? That you make a good point, because when you go back to Inauguration Day with President Trump and look at, you had, they were burning cars. They were, protests and not to my knowledge, not one arrest yet. January 6th.
Violent. Those were violent protests.
Yes.
And honestly, when you look at January 6th, most of what happened actually falls on the other side's. They're the ones that are responsible for it. Okay. They're the ones that are responsible. The whole thing got out of hand because of the left and because of things that were going on behind the scenes that we knew nothing about. Nobody knew anything about. And to this day, it's still not public knowledge, but those were paid provocateurs.
Yep.
That went in there and disrupted this whole thing and set the premise for this madness. And Clapper and Hayden, those are both, they're both scumbags.
Of course.
I always thought the smart thing to do, one, the FBI people, please don't ever look to them for justice. Okay. The FBI being a legit, unbiased justice department is gone. That's over. That's done.
If one can argue if it ever was unbiased. If it ever was.
I think back in the day, it actually was a good thing. Protecting us from spies and things like that. But they are now, they've become they're almost like the hitmen for the mob. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the mob is in control. Yeah.
Bingo. And they're working at the behest of these people that absolutely hate us. They don't just dislike us. These people hate us.
Yep.
Hate. Try and be a school age kid and tell somebody you're a conservative.
Ooh.
I'm serious.
That raises the level of bullying to an entirely new level.
To a whole new level.
Yeah.
And it's nuts. And the sad part is the teachers will side with the left, in that situation. You know what I'm saying? Everything is really getting a skew here. It's just crazy. Everything that we're seeing is nuts.
Well, and one of the things, and again, people may say, listening to this or watching this, well, January 6th is so yesterday. The hearings, no one's paying attention, no one's watching.
I'm sorry. Yeah, if one patriot's sitting in jail, I'm sorry, it's not yesterday.
Thank you. That is exactly right. And you know what? We need. So to me, in my analysis, the January 6th hearings are to today's environment what the release of the SARS-CoV-2 bioweapon was to the shutdown. Okay. This is going to be the impetus for additional arrests and crackdown of free speech. Second Amendment rights, which are intertwined, and the freedom and liberty of many patriots. I believe
what's scary along what you just said is the precedents that are being set.
Yep.
Is a glimpse into, it's really a glimpse into the future. Let's look at the two parties. Just look at what the left does when they're in office versus what the right does when they're in office. This is simply a witch hunt. They're doing to all of us now what they did to Trump for 4 years and what they're still doing to Trump. They're trying to push Trump out of politics altogether. And the point is, that's an exercise in futility. He's not going away. He's not. He started a fight with the guy, and Trump doesn't back down. Now, he may change his tactics. He may not come at you with a frontal assault, but I guarantee he's assaulting the left come election time. And what they're doing to the people on the right is just simply upsetting people. All you're doing is pissing off patriots. That's all you're doing.
Yeah.
And really, what is the it's that they're pushing. There's that feedback again. They're pushing this to where something's going to pop. You know what I'm saying? They're putting that pressure on that pimple. Something's going to give. And once again, that's going to be their fault.
Do we know what that something is going to be? Because that's going to be the question of the day, I think, with many people that come to us or that hear this.
I think that they really and truly are going to try and put it out on the street to deal with the with us patriots. They're going to use the government to bolster up anything against patriots. To say that that was a threat to democracy, January 6th, is absolutely a joke. It's so far out there, I can't even grasp it, because one of the great things about a democratic process is the right to protest. You don't have to sit there and take it. You can actually go out there with a sign and go, this sucks. And you shouldn't, as long as you're not burning something or doing something violent, you shouldn't worry about a police officer being present. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I
do. This is making protesting peaceful, protesting, because I'm sorry, what happened on January 6th as far as patriots went was peaceful. What was going on inside that building was something entirely different.
Okay. And
most of those people outside didn't even know that was going on.
100%. And I've spoken to people like Alex Jones and mm-hmm. who were actively saying, don't fall for this. This is something, you know, you're being railroaded into doing things that you're going to regret.
If we were going to pick up guns and go do something, it would have been to go get those people out of jail.
And you know what? Speaking without a filter, I'm not opposed to that at this moment.
No. And that's what I was really surprised, that there wasn't a mass gathering, even unarmed, would be something to deal with.
Yeah.
Demand that those people be released, because those charges were trumped. Those were trumped up. Trump. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Those were trumped up charges. Plain and simple. Those charges in a normal court of law, say in my town, would have never flown. A judge would have looked at this and said, get out of my courtroom. You know what I'm saying? It's ridiculous what they did, and what they took something that was very small and made it into something very big. And the thing was, going in, they knew ahead of time this was going to happen. They knew ahead of time what their course of action was going to be. They were planning this hearing on January 5th.
Yeah.
They were. There was a setup. It was a setup from the word go.
In fact, I would even say earlier than that. Mm-hmm. But yes, I think that they, because they had some level of operational control on January 6th, I believe that that was planned as soon as, you know, it was announced by the right, by the conservatives, by the Trump people. So
they've even got the cops playing their song. That's the thing. I saw that gigantic cop in the hearings, and I'm looking at him going, really? You didn't think that maybe in a protest that you might get hurt? You know, but if you think about it, even the police were looking at it. I think if you questioned officers outside of their little select few that they handpicked, groomed, and primed what to say, you know, it's like the blonde that was on there, that blonde lady, the cop. It was just terrible. I got pushed. Somebody shoved me. Well, you're a cop. It's a protest. What did you think was going to happen? You know what I'm saying? She made like this was a strange aspect to her job. I'm sorry. That's what you do. You're paid to do this. And really, somebody, you got shoved in a crowd. I can go to a rock concert and get shoved. It's crap. The whole thing. And then that one cop, you know, really, get out of here.
You know,
I just
which you said, yeah. But let's take it one step further if we can. Let's apply. Okay, so today, which is relevant even today, especially super relevant, you've got protests against officers of the court, specifically Supreme Court justices, the conservative Supreme Court justices, which are illegal. But I mean, that's against federal law, okay, and state law. Yet there's nothing happening on a law enforcement level, Department of Justice.
In fact, it's being glorified on leftist media. This action out in front of these Supreme Court justices' homes is being glorified. It's being defended. Are you kidding me? This is a private residence of an officer of the court, the highest court in the land. He should be able to go out in his front yard and pick up the newspaper without a problem. These guys are hiding in their houses now. What's going on with that?
But you
have trouble with people going to a public place, their capital, and protesting. I'm sorry, the capital is ours. It's not theirs. That's our capital.
Think back of over the years how Sarah Huckabee Sanders and her family were harassed at a restaurant publicly,
and the top left encouraging this,
yes,
and telling people to do this.
Yes, Maxine Waters.
She was the worst.
Yep,
she was the worst. And you know what? If we really want to get down and dirty, and the way to fight these people, you fight fire with fire. It's the old adage: fight fire with fire. We could issue the same orders and say, harass them while they're eating. And guess what? Somebody's going to go do it.
Right. And then you have the Department of Justice.
So bad. Yes. Oh, the SWAT team would be at your house.
The selective prosecution becomes persecution of the right. And that's what we're seeing right now.
Everything's so distorted when it comes to the law. And if you can't see that there's two, even a leftist should be able to see that and say, something's wrong here. Both sides should have equal say.
Exactly.
But we're so far from that. This is tyrannical persecution. That's what they're doing.
100%. And you know,
right. We're the only country in the world that puts down our affiliated party on our voting card.
Yeah, I mean, I could walk into any clerk of court or not any voter registration office and get anyone's party affiliation.
Yeah, the fact that we can go online and check donations.
That's true.
I can just grab anybody. Absolutely. It's public knowledge. You know, this is, I don't know. It's, we got a tough road ahead of us, that's for sure.
Well, okay, which brings me to the next and kind of the larger issue here. And this is what we had referenced during that clip. I don't know if it was the same program or a different program. Frank Gaffney, who you know, I've spoken to, and is, in fact, I think he's been on the program, Frank Gaffney, talking about the CCP's influence, the old friends, the penetration of not just the White House but Wall Street, and how things, people like BlackRock, or organizations like BlackRock and Vanguard, are influenced by the CCP, about the communist left.
And was that your article, sir? You wrote that, right?
No, I didn't write that.
I'm sorry. It was a good article.
Well, there's two things. There's an article, and then there is... Now, Frank Gaffney spoke about this. Now, this is a video. In fact, this is video two. I'd like to play this now. In fact, we're going to play it now. And it's, again, several minutes, but every part of this is worth it. So I ask that you pay attention to this.
It's very relevant, folks, people.
Because, yes, and Frank Gaffney makes a many, many, many points that kind of connect the dots on what's happening, everything that Randy Taylor and myself have talked about. So go ahead and start video two.
Frank Gaffney. Frank, it's some good news, Frank. And here's the thing. Steve Cortez just sent me breaking news out of Illinois. Ken Griffin, who spent $40 million on this bogus guy who was trying to, Democrat, they're trying to run, there's a poll out. I think it's Febreze, a new poll. Illinois GOP gov survey shows Bailey at 37, Sullivan at 17, Irvin who's the Ken Griffith guy at 14. Ken Griffin's a hedge fund billionaire that wants to, he's Karl Rove's, the guy who works for him. He wants to have his way in the Republican Party. He put $40 million in Irvin. Irvin's at 14% because he's been exposed by Steve Cortez, who traveled around, and War Room. We're very proud of this. Griffin announces today, guess what? He's packing up shop and heading to Miami, leaving Illinois. Don't go away mad. Just go away, Ken Griffin. Now, you've got other of these oligarchs, Wall Street oligarchs. I want you to take your time and walk through what's been developing in the last couple of days directly related to our national security, Frank Gaffney.
Steve, as you know from your time on Wall Street, a place that has been a focus of what the Chinese call their elite capture is the cadre of, quote, old friends, as Professor Ding Dongsheng revealed they called them last December. And those old friends now are not simply on Wall Street calling in the plays as to what the administration needs to do to enrich their friends in China. They've actually populated the administration itself with people who are old friends of China, both of the Wall Street kind and other varieties. Of course, we talk a lot about Joe Biden. We talk about Tony Blinken and Jake Sullivan and Avril Haines and Bill Burns. These are all prominent national security subordinates of the president, and of course, the old man himself. And if that were the extent of it, it would be a disaster. But it's not. A company called BlackRock that you have focused a lot of attention on quite properly, led by a fellow by the name of Larry Fink, what could be a more appropriate name, has been putting into place senior executives of this company that has played the leading role in migrating between, depending on who you talk to, $3 and $6 trillion from American investors into Chinese Communist Party front companies. Now, let me give you a couple of names in that category. Brian Deese is the director of the National Economic Council, former senior BlackRock executive. Wally Adeyemo, now the deputy secretary of Treasury and a former, I think, chief of staff to Larry Fink at BlackRock. But the latest addition just announced is the new chairman of the Foreign Policy Advisory Board of the Department of State. And this is an advisory role, to be sure, but it will have considerable influence, you can bet, over the kinds of policies that old Tony Blinken will be shaping and pursuing as part of his campaign of cooperation and competition with the Chinese Communist Party. So who did they pick? Well, I'm sorry to disappoint, but evidently Hunter Biden wasn't available. But they did find a guy who was approximately as compromised, I would say, a fellow by the name of Tom Donilon, who was Barack Obama's national security advisor, presided over Joe Biden and the Obama team surrendering the South China Sea to the Chinese Communist Party. These are the guys who are actively working with the Chinese now to get still more money into their coffers. Notably, okay. Steve, we haven't talked about this in a while. The thrift savings.
Hang
plan,
on a second. Yeah, hang on a second. You'll get to that in a second. I got to go back in time, and this is important because people have to have this reference. Biden was put in charge of the relation, the pivot to Asia. Biden was put in charge. The two things he was supposed to take care of immediately was the demilitarization of the South China Sea to stop them building these islands, these atolls that are essentially stationary aircraft carriers. In addition, stop the cyber attacks on our companies that were taking, what is it, $600 billion a year every year in intellectual property stealing. Biden was put in charge of both of those. Tom Donilon was his guy on that. And that's what they were doing. Tell me how successful that was with the Donilon Biden basically kowtowing to the Chinese Communist Party back then.
Well, it was a wild success. for the Chinese Communist Party, of course. And not only that, Steve, but one of the other things that came through in roughly this period when Donilon was at the NSC was a deal that Joe Biden personally shepherded through the bureaucracy to give those Chinese Communist Party companies, and we're talking about companies in some cases that work directly for the People's Liberation Army or for the surveillance or you know, genocide camps. I mean, these are the worst of the worst, as well as the ones that just work for the CCP itself. Joe Biden engineered this deal, this memorandum of understanding in May of 2013, whereby the Chinese got preferential access to our capital markets. So all that $3 to $6 trillion isn't just flowing their way. It's part of a deal that allows them to ignore the accounting and transparency and governance regulations and laws of the United States. And you know what else happened a little later that year, Steve? I think it was December of 2013, if I'm not mistaken. Oh, Hunter and Joe go to Beijing and pick up a cool $1.5 billion. Call it a commission on the incredible value of that MOU for these guys. And Tom Donilon is part of this. He is now going to be presiding over it in this new capacity.
Yeah.
You put Adeyemo, you put Deese, you put these fellow travelers and people deeply compromised by the Chinese Communist Party. And what does it add up to, my friend? There's a word for it. Well, technical term is aiding and abetting, but the express definition of aiding and abetting our enemy is treason. And I believe that's what we're looking at.
Frank Gaffney, let's go
all right,
back.
We can,
to,
I want
to go
back. We can stop it right there.
China has more. Yeah, China has more influence in our politics than you'll realize. Don't think for a second they're not behind this gun grab.
There it is. Thank you. Yes,
this is really simple, people. Go back and look at history. The reason that no one's ever attempted to invade the United States and occupy us is because we're armed. Behind every blade of grass is an American with a gun.
In conjunction
stop
with
and,
what you said, okay?
And stop and think about that.
China
would love nothing better than to take over this country, and eventually they will try. But they couldn't do it if we were and we are armed.
So we talked yesterday briefly, or we corresponded yesterday briefly, you and I, and we were talking about the Supreme Court decision involving New York State about concealed weapons carry. The bottom line is, it became a may issue state to a shall issue state, and it should, it should extend across the nation. But what we saw, the response to that by the talking heads and by people like Hochul, who's the governor of New York, their heads were exploding. Well, why is that? Well, wait a second, because that is affirming the constitutional right to bear arms. And of course, we can't have that. So, right there.
You hit it right on the head. But China eventually, absolutely wants this country. And if you can't see that, I don't know what to tell you. But look behind the scenes. If America was disarmed, they could just walk in and take over. And what's going to boil down to, people, is we're going to end up having to protect the Democrats from themselves. That's what it's coming to.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to come to, because they're ready to surrender and give everything up because they don't see the harm in it. And if you haven't looked at China, that's the last place in the world I'd want to live. I'd rather live in a Muslim country than to live in China.
Exactly.
I'm serious. And you know how I feel about that. This is where we're at. Also, did you see, I sent you a little news blurb. Did you see that? Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Yes.
Yippee-ki-yay.
And what do you think is going to happen tonight and this afternoon? There's going to be protests. There will be violence. What are they going to do about it? Are they going to do anything?
No, of course. I don't think they will. I think it's going to
be
summer 2020.
If you look at it, and one simple thing, if a priest won't even allow you to participate in communion because of your stance on abortion, you should not be in any leadership position in this country. Period. Ever.
Good point.
Both Biden and Pelosi are refused communion. I'm surprised they're in a church to begin with. But as they accidentally wandered in on Sunday morning because they thought it was the golf course, they can't have communion.
Wow. You know,
stop and think about that. You know, and stop and think about leaders of a country that say it's okay to kill a baby right up to the moment of birth and even after. Stop and think about it. You wonder why kids are killing each other?
Of course.
Are you kidding me? We've told them. We've indicated to them that life is meaningless. It could have been you on the table in the waste bucket. So you wonder why kids don't see any value to human life? You told them that their life is nothing. And then you wonder why they go kill other children? But you want to blame the guns and blame the Republicans. Interesting.
Well, and thanks for bringing this to our attention. As you can tell, folks, okay, we are recording this in advance because of schedule issues. And so what we have now as of this recording time is Roe v. Wade being overturned. And, of course, the case at hand is Dobbs v. Jackson's Women's Health Organization, okay, in the Supreme Court. That's the case. So if you hear that, you can connect this, okay? Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. But the decision was a 5-4 decision, just so you know. And a little background very quick, and then I'm going to turn it back over to you because I want to hear your thoughts as to the extent of what happens next. So, but just a little background, Roe handed down in 73 in a 7-2 decision, held erroneously, in my view, and I think a lot of people's view, that the U.S. Constitution includes a constitutional right to abortion, despite the fact that abortion is not found in any text, structure of the text, or history of the Constitution anywhere. And the nation went for more than 180 years without ever referencing its existence. Now it's one of the most divisive legal issues in American history. So the draft, and real quick, the draft of Alito's opinion leaked in May, the first such leak, and I will add, no one's been arrested for that. That carries a 10-year prison sentence. So that led the kickoff of the violent protests, including destroying the Pro-Life Center in Wisconsin, among other places. So but a 5-4 decision, highly, you know, divided along partisan lines, and you can look at who the five are and who the four are, and hey, grade them accordingly. And I think that there is a little bit of cowardice in that four. The four members, but I digress. So what do you think? So violence, to be sure, but
well, look what happened at just the notion of this happening.
Yes,
it lit up every fruitcake on the left to run out there with signs, and actually someone, you know, one of these clowns was going to murder Kavanaugh.
Yeah,
well, this is absolutely out of hand. But they're out there breaking the law right now, out in front of these justices' homes. What happens now? Now that the decision's been made, I would say that those five justices, their lives are in danger. They're in serious danger.
At this point in time,
this weekend could erupt into horrific violence.
Boy, I didn't pick a good week.
What are six U.S. marshals standing out in front of a house going to do with 400, let's say they were suddenly armed tonight outside of one of the justices' homes or all of them? What are you going to do? It's going to be like the Alamo. You put up a good fight, but sorry, in the end. And this is that they even allow the protest sets the precipice for this. It sets the foundation for violent action. And this is endorsed by the left. Biden has not said anything to the cronies out there about, hey, there's some areas that are sacred ground and a justice's home is that.
You know,
this is such a lack of leadership, of sane leadership. Oh, he's a leader, but Satan's a leader too. Okay, so that's a very loosely applied title. Right, this is where serious problems, and starting this weekend, things are going to get really crazy because the left cannot stand it when the law actually works against them. They can't take it. They can't do it. They can't deal with it. So I guarantee they're spinning out of control right now. There are right now plans being made for horrific, violent events this weekend. I guarantee it.
That's all they have is that violence. And isn't it interesting? What does this decision do? It moves the decision to the states. It doesn't outlaw.
That's all it did. It just it basically now you just have to talk to somebody else about it. It's not. This is where the feds stand on it, but it's still a state decision. So what are you getting bent out of shape about? Babies are still going to die.
Yeah.
You'll still get a body count, may not be as high as you want, but you're still going to get your body count, you scum. I this is when our country really, we did a lot of things as a country wrong.
Yeah.
But this whole thing going all the way back to, and my wife brought this up, the Kennedy assassination, that was one of the first moves, I think, by this New World Order. And I think Bush Sr. was behind it. And if you look at the pictures, Pelosi was there too.
You know, you say that, and I have seen a lot of, I've seen a lot of recent, documentaries, mini documentaries. Mm-hmm. And I have been looking for Pelosi. Where did you see?
There was staff meetings, and you could see her standing in the background. I've got some photos around here somewhere. I can dig them up.
Okay, because I do know that a lot of the archives.
Yeah, she was like an intern at that point.
Okay,
she was a background player. She was of no consequence whatsoever, but it was a real piece of work in the making.
Yeah, and you know, it's that magic bullet theory and how that all played out, and Oswald conveniently getting killed. I disagree, by the way, with Bannon. There are no conspiracies. Oh, there are conspiracies, and America is rife with them. Now, here's Nancy
Pelosi. And for good reason, sir.
Exactly.
And what used to be conspiracies are now the truth, people.
Exactly.
So before you point the fingers and tell us that we have tinfoil hats on, well, maybe you should get a tinfoil hat because they seem to work. Okay? Because we knew this stuff years ago.
Well, I'm glad you brought this to my attention because I was not paying attention. But so here is the first reaction of Nancy Pelosi hearing the news, the SCOTUS decision.
Oh, this will be good.
It's 90 seconds, roughly. And here it is.
This is deadly serious. But we are not going to let this pass. A woman's right to choose reproductive freedom is on the ballot in November. We cannot allow them to take charge so that they can institute their goal, which is to criminalize
killing
reproductive freedom, to criminalize it. Right now, they're saying in states that they can arrest doctors and all the rest. What is happening here? What is happening here? Woman's fundamental health decisions are her own to make in consultation with her doctor, her faith, her family, not some right-wing politicians of that Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell packed the court with. While Republicans seek to punish and control women, Democrats will keep fighting ferociously to enshrine Roe v. Wade into law of the land. This cruel ruling is outrageous and heart-wrenching, but make no mistake, again, it's all on the ballot in November. The Supreme Court has ended a constitutional right. This is 50 years proclaimed a constitutional right. What happened today was historic in many respects. Historic in that it had not granted, recognized a constitutional right, and then reversed it. This is a first.
You know, okay, first of all, my body, my choice, reproduction, all this crap.
Unless it's a COVID shot. Unless it's a COVID shot.
I was just going to say that. Screw you, right?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Why does it apply here but not here, sir?
Right, exactly. She was the one, I mean, I am so sick of this crap, okay? These murderous pigs like her. Okay, I swear to God, I saw a picture. I thought she was going to melt, but that is just ridiculous. They're pushing this injecticide on people, making it mandatory, and then out of the other side of their mouth saying, "Well, you can't do this. You can't tell." What a bunch of crap! And I'm ranting. So, go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right, sir. My body, my choice. You're the ones that preach it. They're the ones that preach it.
Yeah.
My body, my choice. My body, my choice. I shouldn't have to do any blah, 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 blah. Really? And then you come at me with a needle? What? How does that work? Oh, I forget. It's different for the left than it is for the right. Oh, we saw that January 6th. We see that all the time. This is crazy. The deplorables have been segregated, labeled, and are targets. We're targets. Plain and simple.
You know,
plain and simple.
You're exactly 100% right.
And I can't believe she could sit there with a straight face and say that. My body, my choice.
And she's pissed too.
Yeah. Oh, she is pissed. Get pissed. Get so mad you have a heart attack. Okay. I cannot stand that woman. That woman is the epitome of evil. And anybody that votes for her is also enabling evil.
Yes.
That woman is evil. She is the worst of scum. She is scum, scum, scum. In fact, to be scum would be a step up for her. I'll tell you right now, and I told you this before, I forget all the politics and everything else. The fact that you're killing babies is enough.
Amen.
And I'm not going to say another word after that, as far as what I'm telling you. The killing of the babies is enough. That's all I need. That's all I need.
That's it.
Because, and guess what? I'm doing God's work at that point.
Amen to that. This goes back to the sacrificing babies to Moloch this goes back to some dark stuff. It has never been a constitutional friggin' right, you morons.
Thank you. You never have the right to take an innocent life.
No.
I don't care. I don't care who you are. You do not have the right to take an innocent life and then sit there and play it off like it's nothing more than throwing out an old candy bar wrapper.
Exactly.
I don't get that. You're talking about a little baby, the most precious thing I ever had in my life.
In the safest.
Was holding my baby girl in my hands.
I remember that.
The most precious thing. And to this day, I still go back and I get teared up about it because the most beautiful little thing was handed to me. Envision someone even thinking, even considering killing that child. Oh, you want to unleash hell? Keep it up. To me, it's very personal.
You speak from my heart.
I'm adopted.
Your story is amazing.
If my mother had been under the influence of the scum today, I would have been dead at the end of a coat hanger. I wouldn't be here sitting here talking to you. Why don't you stop and think about that? That to me, it's very serious. Just the fact that, you know, we pretend to be on, you know, as the United States, as the nation that is an example to the world, we're right and we're justice and we're freedom and the American way. Well, you know what? The American way isn't that freaking good anymore.
No.
And we're not an example anymore to the world. We're an example of what not to do. We have taken something that was the most beautiful gift from God. This country. This country could be so many wonderful things. In this world, we could be the beacon. We could be that saving grace that thing that separates us from evil as a world. And we're dropping the ball. We're just like the rest of them.
How much do you think, and let me ask this, maybe this is, and folks, think about this question, but you know how we are being flooded by illegals and even legal immigration, but specifically illegals.
Over a million this year, sir.
Right. So, okay, even though this Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision, which we can get into a whole discussion about the Supreme Court position, or not position, but role in. But my question is this. This is a win for life, but the animus that's against this decision, how much of that animus is part of the devaluation of our society by people who have been brought into this country away from its founding member lineage, if you will?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does that play a role in this?
I'm sure it does somewhere, yes, sir. I look at, when you talk about over a million people since the beginning of the year, we have a looming food crisis.
Yeah,
we've got gas that I'm surprised that banks haven't set up financing booths at the gas station. I mean, it's just nuts. And then you say, "Oh, come one, come all." There's nothing to come to.
Yeah.
Okay. And if your country's screwed up, fix it. Ask for help. But the answer isn't to come here.
No.
And listen, I'm all for opportunities and things like that. But this is just becoming a handout. We're like a gigantic welfare office for the world.
True. Yeah.
We are. The only way that you could try and explain this off as to what their madness is one, that 2030 agenda with a screwed up immigration plan. They're doing it up north too.
Yeah.
Trudeau up there, he's gone berserk. Okay. And listen, you can't bring people in from countries and places where there's no value on human life and stick them with us as a civilized people. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Where before you go out and have words with someone, and now you got to worry about somebody killing you.
Right.
It doesn't work because in their country, that's what they do. Well, don't bring it here. Do not. And these ancient feuds between this clan and that clan, and don't bring it here. We don't need it. Guess what? If you shoot at them and you miss, it's going to be an innocent American who's going to take the bullet. Yeah, there's your thank you for us taking in.
Yeah, yeah.
You piece of crap.
Oh, man.
I'm just this. I know, and we look at this, and we preach peace, and we, you know, let's do it the right way. And I'm going to preach it until there's a day we say that ain't happening.
Amen to that.
Okay, and I get emails all the time. I know we have a lot of support out there. But Doug and I have to look out, and anybody that's on this program, we've got to look out for the same style of January 6th thanking coming and trying to tag us with something.
And believe me, they are trying.
I guarantee they are. They're looking through the law books and trying to figure out every which way. But and I'll just give you a little hint. I've always said this. Stick me in jail for something I didn't do, I ain't staying long. I ain't staying long. Trust me, you will make a monster.
And that fact, that's a fact. I can guarantee you, folks, with that. You know what? We're out of time. I got to tell you, stick with us this weekend. Randy Taylor and I are going to have some amazing
analysis. We are going to have some fun.
Yeah.
Yes. This is like the old days, buddy.
Yeah. And we'll be doing some stuff for next week as well in my absence, going into the gates of hell through DC, which
is this week, this whole week, the next couple weeks are just going to be so full of events that we don't want any blackout time on the show.
No.
But Doug has some very important business, but we're going to do some stuff ahead of time.
Yep.
To maintain that consistency of delivering a quality program with truth, facts, and hard hitting things to you. Why? Because that's what we do.
That's what we do indeed. Randy Taylor, Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com, and follow him on Twitter as well at Randy Taylor. Folks, thank you.
And one thing on Twitter, just because I follow somebody doesn't mean I endorse them.
No, you watch them.
Thank you.
All right. Randy, thanks so much. Folks, have a good night. God bless.